MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, I don't think I need to say that South Africans are tired of half-built clinics, abandoned schools, and budgets that often disappear long before the buildings arrive. Now, the Public Works Minister, Dean McPherson, has announced what he calls a decisive construction action plan, promising to blacklist failing contractors, ring-fence budgets, digitize project tracking, and also broadly professionalize the public sector. It's a bold reset for a department that he admits has been plagued by waste, weak controls, and loss of public confidence. I guess the question today is what this plan means in terms of delivery and whether it's just another policy promise waiting to stall in the mud. So, Minister, a very warm welcome. And you say that you see what South Africans see and that frustration is justified. What are South Africans seeing and why has it taken so long for Public Works to admit systemic failure?
Thanks, Jeremy, and great to be with you. Yeah, I feel the anger, and I'm as frustrated as any other South African is when they see a half-built project that the Department of Public Works, either nationally or provincially, is dealing with. It's a source of irritation because it just means that poor planning has taken place, budgets have disappeared, and people aren't held accountable. So we've sought to look at what are the root causes for that, and say, you know, in a systematic way, working nationally and with the provinces, how can we try and recover lost ground and then actually set forward a vision that ensures that projects are completed on time and on budget? And so we have to try and get some of the basics right, just like ensuring accountability, that contractors cannot bounce around the country ripping off the state, whether it be a province or nationally, and get away with it. And, you know, if you're going to do that, you're going to be blacklisted entirely. Just making sure that we have qualified and registered professionals to do the work. And so what they say they can do, they are able to do. And as you mentioned in your intro, you know, using digital technology to be able to map out the problems, have line of sight, and be able to track progress or stalling so that we can then intervene there and then.
Why has it taken so long to implement?
Well, look, I mean, you know, we've been in office for nearly a year and a half. It takes time to actually see what's under the hood of the car and try and actually diagnose what needs to be done. I mean, I can't explain for what's taken place before that, but what we've said is we've diagnosed the problem. We've done a lot of research into why it is the way that it is. We've also done some benchmarking on places that have got it right, and then said, actually, you know, that we need to put together a plan that is not just a plan in itself, but actually has deadlines and timelines, reporting mechanisms, and people are held accountable. And we made it very clear to all the senior officials in Johannesburg on Tuesday that it's no longer the case of, oops, you've made a mistake. Mm. It's, you know, you've done this. It's now time to move on and go do something else. But the Department of Public Works, both provincially and nationally, is going to be one of excellence and one that we actually deliver on.
So let's talk about accountability, Minister. You promised to blacklist non-performing contractors, all well and good. So when's the first list going to be published, and will it include politically connected individuals?
Well, we've already blacklisted 40, Jeremy, just in the last 12 months. And contrast that to one company that was blacklisted in 22 years. I think that we are showing that we mean business. You know, I've said, Jeremy, that it should be an honor to do business with the state. You should see it as service to serve your country, to build schools and hospitals and clinics. Unfortunately, it's seen as an opportunity to rip off the state. So I don't care who you are or what membership card you carry. If your business doesn't perform for the department, either nationally or provincially, you will be blacklisted and you won't be able to operate anywhere. So we also want to build a culture of excellence so that we try and encourage people to go to higher levels. On that score, we've said, well, let's actually show at the beginning of the financial year the full pipeline and not just in bits and pieces. So we actually encourage people that if you do good work, there's actually a lot more work coming down the road, and that also helps on pricing as well.
The devil, though, is often in the detail. Contractors, as you well know, Minister, often reappear under new company names. Is there a concrete procedure or mechanism that's going to stop shell company recycling, evidence of which we see all the time?
Yeah, so that's a good point, Jeremy. And the provinces particularly highlighted that. And we learned this lesson from Limpopo, where they have set up what they called a restriction committee, that any person or business who does, who does business with the state and fails to deliver, they get added to the restriction committee, and then that then gets shared with municipalities and other spheres of the state, so that those companies or individuals can't reappear in another province or another department. So all provinces will now be required to set up restriction committees, collate that database, which will be managed by the Construction Industry Development Board, and then they will be blacklisted at a national level, so that a flag goes against those companies and individuals that then no arm of the state can or should do business, and then they will also be given to Treasury as well. So we want to try and spread that information and that data as wide as possible, which is why data and analytics is going to be so crucial to us getting this right.
You also said that budgets are going to be ring-fenced and funds protected from diversion, all well and good. But it's going to be difficult, surely, Minister, to enforce that when pressure hits the provinces.
That's true, Jeremy, and that's why it's going to have to be in collaboration with treasuries. We're going to have that conversation. We've started advocating for that to say, you know, if you're going to commit to a three-year budget on a project, you can't pull that budget halfway through. That then puts us in a difficult position as to where that funding is supposed to come from. And that's why incomplete projects are a multifaceted problem. And just if we solved the budget issue alone, Jeremy, we would see immense progress. We have so many projects that are sitting at 70, 80% completion, but the budgets get moved because of funding pressures or, you know, other requirements come along. And that just can't be allowed. That's why we've also linked it to audit outcomes. And we've said to the Auditor General that rightfully so, you must audit public works for what they do or don't deliver. But you must also audit client departments that don't pay on time or withhold funding. They can't get away with that problem while we sit with their problem. So it is a difficult conversation. I think we can get it right. There's definitely a broad agreement within the public works family in provinces that their treasuries need to do the same. So they're going to go back to their treasuries. I'm going to go back to mine, and we're going to lobby hard to get that institutionalised.
Public Works Minister Dean McPherson, thank you very much.